Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. Supremacy, dominion, rule, sovereignty. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you. Privilege of relating with you. Breathe upon the service tonight. Let not one person remain the same. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. May your be loved. Give the Lord a praise. Welcome two people. March. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Powerful ministration. The Lord bless you. We have so many songs that the world need to hear. I think this is one of them. We have sung them in church, but the world is yet to hear them. And they shall hear them in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say aloud, amen. Very quickly tonight, I will speak on the subject, the prophet of godly character. The prophet of godly character. And the objective tonight is understanding the profit or and benefits of walking in godly character. Isaiah chapter Psalm 24 verse 1, it said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. When we speak about godly character, many people think that the major objective is to escape hell and make heaven. That is the ultimate objective. Some people also think it's so that God can be happy with us. That is also a part of the objective. But there are many things that walking in godly character will do for you, for me, in this world. Far before we talk of heaven yet. Because we have to live in this world first. Before we talk of heaven in the end. So, the one who walks in godly character has some advantages over someone who walks in ungodliness. And what are these advantages? What does it pay? What does it profit to walk in godly character? Number one, profit is divine presence. The one who walks in godly character, who walks in uprightness, is an effortless carrier of divine presence. In the psalm we just read, chapter 24, verse 3 to verse 5, he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? In other words, who is the person that is qualified to stay with God? To keep the company of God? To
to carry the presence of God. He said, it is he that has clean hands, he that has a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So there is something godly character does, and that is positioning the saint in the presence of God. When you see a godly man, when you come around them, you feel God. You feel God. Isaiah 59 verse 1 to 2. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14, he said, thou art of a purer eye. 13, thou canst not behold iniquity. Can you trace that? Of a purer eye, can't behold. 1:13. But thou art of a purer eye than to behold iniquity, evil, and canst not look on iniquity. So, it separates man from God. If you want to be an effortless carrier of divine presence, and divine presence is what is called the anointing. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God with a person, that is called the anointing. So godly character enhances the presence of God and establishes the anointing. Number one is divine presence. Number two is the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Psalm 1 verse 1 all the way to verse 3 say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth not in the way of sinners, sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man. He's not sinful. He doesn't keep the company of the sinful. Blessed is that man. Again, Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5. If you read and all the way to verse 5, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He said, that man, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. There is the blessedness of uprightness. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Job chapter 1 verse 1, we see the man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And his substance, that's the next thing that follows. His substance. Look at verse 10. It talks about how God had blessed him. The blessing of the Lord. The way of uprightness, the way of righteousness is the way of blessedness. We saw that in Job, we saw that in Joseph, we saw that in David. It's not the way of crookedness. It's the way of blessedness. Somebody say loud amen. A man abandoned a job that he was doing that was bringing him millions weekly and some monthly. But this millions was fraudulent and crooked millions. He said the money was coming, but he didn't know what he was doing with it. He could not account for it. So he abandoned it completely and said, Lord, from this moment forward, any money that is not clean, I won't touch. He was stranded for a while. No business. Nothing. Suddenly, somebody called him and said, can you do this kind of job? And that was his field, unknown to them. The one he was doing before had no bearing with his profession. It was just kind of Nigerian thing. And they called him. That was how he entered his field of training effortlessly. First job, some millions. Other jobs, some millions. Last time I saw him, he brought a job that was in millions of dollars. Translated, it becomes billions. And I told him, you have seen nothing yet. And he said, but this is so much. I said, because God is not in short supply of the blessing. He is only lacking faithful people. He's not short of the blessing. He's not short of blessing. God is not looking for the blessing. He is looking for the faithful. For the faithful man will abound with the blessing. I mean, that was a practical example of someone saying, if I die, let me die. Abandon crooked business. There are some testimonies you can't even go into detail. Because it will annoy some people. The blessing of the Lord. There is someone here today. God is going to move you to a realm of neat and tidy money. Neat resources. Tidy resources. Where you won't need to bribe anybody or compromise anybody. If you are that person, you say aloud, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Divine presence, the blessing of the Lord. Number three is the favor of the Lord. The blessing, the profit of godly character includes the favor of the Lord. Psalm 5 and in verse 12, the Bible says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Will you compass him about as with a shield? With favor. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That is called favor. When you please the Lord with your life. Proverbs 16:7. He makes even your enemies. Just please God with your life. You don't need to struggle to please man. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In Esther chapter 2 and in verse 15. When Esther displayed the character of contentment as against covetousness, she required nothing except what was available. The Bible said, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. This favor is favor with God and favor with man. One of us said he was making a supply somewhere. Other people were also supplying. And then the person who is overseeing the site saw the supply. He saw how this man supplied. He saw the price he quoted. And he saw the faithfulness, quality of the supply. And he saw all these suppliers, multi-billion project. And he said, you know what? All you suppliers, bye. Only you face the supply. Every single thing that is to be supplied there, you supply it. The person is a good member of the church who is hearing what is being preached. This favor is favor from God. Who doesn't want to trust a trustworthy person? Who doesn't want to hand his resources to a man who is faithful? Who doesn't want to deal with an upright person? It saves you stress. Pharaoh, Potiphar went to sleep as he handed everything over to Joseph. I tell people, I said, make it easy for God to promote you. Just make it easy. God is looking for who to lift. But people have made it difficult for God by crookedness of ways. Favor. This favor is with God. This favor is with man. When you know how to deal neatly. I was talking with somebody yesterday. I said, as for favor, you don't lack. You don't lack favor. When people hand you over multi-billion naira asset to manage for them. Manage this for me. Manage this for me. Manage this for me. Not one, not two, not three. And then everything went down. Your challenge is not favor. Your challenge is character. A person with character will attract favor. A person with favor without character. Now, a person with character will attract favor. A person without character will lose favor. No matter the favor you give him, no matter what door you open for him, it will close if he doesn't have character. A person with character will attract favor. A person without character will lose favor. He will continuously lose favor. I told somebody, I said, you have three problems. Number one, you are too much in a hurry to be rich. Number two, you don't keep your words. Number three, you are not faithful. Hold this, take this money, hold for me, do this thing. You don't do it. You don't keep your words. And you are too much in a hurry. You want to achieve many things at the same time. And everything collapses. Hallelujah. But there's somebody here. God is going to give someone another chance. If you are that person, you say aloud, amen. So this thing is beyond just is. Okay, if I say bigger, nothing is bigger than going to heaven. This thing involves going to heaven plus much, much more. It makes your eternity guaranteed, and your earthly journey profitable and colorful. Earthly journey profitable. Earthly journey colorful. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Please, don't join people to inflate prices when they are doing so. Because you are tampering with your own favor. Don't join people to do the crooked thing. Let them look at you as a black sheep. They say the price is $100 and you know $30 can do it and you still have $15 profit. The divine presence, the blessing of the Lord, number two. Number three is the favor of the Lord. Number four is spiritual authority and boldness. There is a spiritual boldness and authority that godly character brings. Psalm 28 verse 1 said, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Sorry, Proverbs 28 verse 1. But the righteous are bold as a lion. John chapter 14 and in verse 30, he said, hereafter I will not talk with you much, for the prince of this world cometh, but he is helpless against me. Jesus is talking. He has nothing in me. I don't carry his property, so he is helpless against me. One of the ways to maintain the audacity of faith is the maintenance of uprightness of life. audacity of faith. To maintain your authority. The authority of Joshua the high priest was undermined in Zechariah chapter 3 and from verse 1 because he was wearing a filthy garment and Satan stood by him to resist him. He resisted him because he was wearing a garment that was filthy. We live in a world, a very, very wicked world. You know, the devil can show you a dream in the night and you wake up in the morning and say, bastard devil. Don't know who you are dealing with. The dream that will make people go and be hiring prayer warriors. One day I dreamt a dream. When I woke up, I said, Satan, I'm about to sleep back. If you're a devil, return the dream. If you call yourself a devil, return the dream now. I dreamt dream before. I laid down back and continued the dream to end where I wanted to end. The Bible says Joseph dreamt a dream. He didn't say he had a dream. He dreamt it. Talk about that another time. Do you understand what I'm saying? But in this world, if your life must not be at risk, your faith must be alive. Say that again. If your life must not be at risk, your faith must be alive. Because the just shall live by his faith. If your life must not be at risk, your faith must be alive. And one of the things that makes your faith to be alive is the exercise of the conscience to be void of offense towards God and towards man. So, uprightness of character. I heard that some people were inside an aircraft that was having a challenge in the air. And one man there just began to confess all manner of terrible things because he was so sure that a plane was going to crash. At least let me. By the time he finished saying every terrible thing he had done, the plane didn't crash. He said, this plane has to crash. Because he doesn't know how to survive with himself, having admitted to so many terrible things while he was in danger. Why did that happen? Because his heart is not clear. That will never be your portion. How many of you know that in the midst of danger, everybody knows the name of Jesus of all religions? Hallelujah. You shall fulfill your days. So it is spiritual authority and boldness. Number five is like unto number four. That is divine preservation. Divine preservation. It is he that breaketh the hedge that the serpent bites. Divine preservation. You know, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 33 and in verse 15 to verse 16, 33:15-16, it said, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that person that stopped his ears from hearing of blood, shut his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. He shall be inside a crag of rocks. Bomb shelter. Spiritual bomb shelter. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Job chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 10. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 10.
Hast thou not made a hedge about him? See, he's a man that feared God. He has chewed evil. He was perfect. He was upright. And what was his outcome? God made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. There is no genuine child of God that is permitted to appear in the mirror of the wizard. They invoke your spirit, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you appear in their mirror for them to shoot you arrow of death. God forbid. It's impossible. Or they put a calabash of the blood of pigeon and want to call you inside the blood of pigeon, and the blood of pigeon became more powerful than the blood of Jesus. No. You will not die like chicken. You will not die like chicken. Anywhere they are invoking your spirit, their own spirit shall appear there. Anywhere they are calling your name, the people calling you shall appear to be destroyed. Say louder, amen. Take your seat. I told you this story before. During the convention, young man having issue getting married, there's brought a lady. And I, at that time, I had told him, I said, are you sure of this lady? I'm not too sure, but are you sure? Then we're not too many as a church, so it was easy to see people one-on-one like that. Are you sure? Long story made short, he went ahead and married that woman. He lived with that woman until it was about time for the woman to die because she was sick. And the woman told her and said, anytime your pastor talks to you, listen to him. He said, because she was sent from the kingdom of darkness on assignment for his life. That they saw his future, what they call star. And his future and destiny was very bright. As a child of God who was going to be very influential. And they wanted her to enter his life and cut him short. He said, but she has been trying since she came. Not 1 year, not 2 years, not 5 years, not 10 years. But has been unable to take him out. And because she couldn't succeed, she has to go. She says she's the only one on that assignment that has not succeeded. All her friends succeeded in killing the men. The man said, Pastor, what I am telling you is not Nigerian movie. He said, it's real life. You see, I can't tell anybody. I can't even say anything about it because she has children and the children are good children. They are grown up now. That was how she had to. And because of the covering you are under, you couldn't just be taken. What a faithful God. You say, because I have to go. So anyone who wants to take you out, it is them that will go. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and say, I shall fulfill my days. I cannot be cut short before my time. In the name of Jesus. You believe that, shout the Lord and say amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. All I can say is, exercise your conscience to be void of offense towards God and man. Maintain that tenderness of conscience before God. And refuse for iniquity to drown your life. Divine preservation is a profit of godly character. Number 6 is divine wisdom. There is a way godly people are wise. No wonder the Bible says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So godlessness is foolishness. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. When a man is godless, ungodly, he is inevitably foolish. And you know, one of the foundations for godly character is the fear of God. We talked about the love of God, the fear of God. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to depart from, is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way. That's what the fear of God is. And this fear of God, which is the foundation of character, is the beginning of wisdom. Job 28:28, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. Divine wisdom. When you look at a man like Joseph, who said no, who said I fear God, you look at him, and you look at him, and look at him, and look at the testimony of Pharaoh. Can we find a man such as this? A wise man, in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Joseph the upright was also Joseph the wisest in Egypt. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's spirit. Daniel the upright was also Daniel the wisest. If you look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 and look at Daniel chapter 5 and in verse 14. So, uprightness godliness attacks foolishness. There is a way in which mentality is assisted by integrity. And there is a way in which iniquity corrupts mentality. Can't you see? After Solomon finished building the temples for God, he started building shrines. Building shrines and altars for false gods because of what he allowed his life to get into abundantly. Wisdom to deal wisely with the affairs of your life, to deal wisely in the issues of life, in the work of your hands. Upright, godly character assists wisdom. There are people you see today, once they behave, you'll be wondering, did this man go to school? Once you see them behave. There are professors who will go to the house of a native doctor and do unbelievable things. Pull your shoe. Lick the clay. It's like he didn't go to school. He may be a professor of hygiene. Like the man testified yesterday. The professor of hygiene. And they said, lick the clay here with the excreta of chicken. That will protect your car. You, Vice Chancellor. Yes, sir. From which angle should I start licking it? Because of the mentality corruption power of iniquity. Wisdom. Sharpness. Superior, supernatural smartness. It happens when life is cleaned out. It happens. Finally, we have divine presence. We have the blessing of the Lord. We have the favor of the Lord. As the profit and dividend of godly character, we have spiritual authority and boldness. We have divine preservation. We have divine wisdom. And finally, we have vision, purpose, and destiny fulfillment. To fulfill your vision in life. To fulfill purpose in life. To fulfill your destiny. Character must be intact. Many lost their destiny, lost purpose, lost vision because of character out of place. Proverbs 23, verse 17 to verse 18. Let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't envy sinners so that you live as a sinner. Don't envy their lifestyle. Don't say they are enjoying their lives. I hear a very demonic proverb that says, good boy does not pay, good girl does not pay. Just be there, be a good boy. Just be there, be a good girl. Doesn't pay anybody. It's only the bad people that are really... It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Young lady met me. She said, at this age of 28 or 29 or 30, she's still a virgin. You see, all her classmates that were bad girls in secondary school, they have all married. And she is not married. Does it mean it is better to be a bad person? Keeping yourself from iniquity, is it bad? Is it bad? I said, look at me, look at my wife. We kept ourselves like that. See our life. Do you hate it? I said, don't worry, God will honor you and reward you. In a short while, a man arrived, married her. Correct man. She traveled to 5 countries in 1 month. I said, God will prove to you that doing the right thing is better than doing the wrong thing. Don't let your heart envy sinners. There are people around you that the devil wants to use to torment your life. They are living recklessly and they look like they are successful. Say, but be thou in the fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil. For surely there is an end of whatever you are going through, and your expectation, your vision, your purpose, your destiny cannot be aborted. Can somebody say loud amen? Daniel proposed in his heart. Was his destiny aborted? No. His vision, his life's assignment was fulfilled. Joseph refused to compromise until his refusal sent him to prison. Have you ever been at a point where doing the right thing puts you in problem? It wasn't the wrong thing you are doing. It's the right thing you are standing for. And it puts you in trouble. Yet, he came out of that trouble and still went to the place of the vision he saw at the age of 17, 13. He still went to that place of vision. The vision he saw as a boy came to pass. Even though standing for the right thing put him in trouble, but it brought him into his vision later. Supposing Joseph had compromised, you won't hear of him. Supposing Daniel defied himself with a portion of the king's men, you won't hear of him. Everything. See, there are people who just stole a little money today. He closed the whole of their future. There are people, only small compromise with teacher, with boss, with whatever. He just ended the destiny. Your destiny is anchored on your character. I'm sure you have seen the process before, that your thought, once it is repeated, will produce your action. Your action, once it is sustained, will produce your habit. Your habit, once it is established, becomes your character. Your character confirmed defines your destiny. So it's from thought to habit, from habit, from thought to action, action to habit, habit to character, character to destiny. Am I communicating?
So before you go to heaven or hell, there is a destiny on earth to fulfill first. Am I right? Before you end anywhere after life, there is what to become on earth or not to become. And that is at the mercy of your character.
Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Shout the loudest amen.
Young man got introduced to cocaine by his friend
2 years ago or 3 years ago. Heroin by his roommate or whoever. And he pursues that cocaine for a while. That is the end of his school. But that's the end of his schooling. Because, I mean, there is nothing that can help him continue schooling. Even the school fees is not enough to sponsor the cocaine.
That his journey ended.
Am I coming? See the practical example.
Oh, somebody joined cult, campus cult. Second year. They went on a cult, a clash or something, killed some people. They arrested him. Put him in prison, and in Nigeria he's on a waiting trial for 15 years.
University is over. Youth service is over. Future is bleak. 15 years of life subtracted. When he comes out of there, he's never the same. You see how destiny can be affected, thoroughly corrupted by character.
In my fifth year medical school, I came across the bedside of a young man.
This young man had pulmonary tuberculosis, he had liver cirrhosis, and he had constrictive pericarditis with cardiomyopathy. Three of these things, all traceable to alcoholism, alcoholic carditis. This guy, on interrogation, says he drank 16 bottles of beer at a sitting. One sitting. Even if it is bottles of water, where is it entering?
On the same, his brother was a bank manager. Then, he drank it at a sitting.
He was in the A-levels. He was around the age of 19. His heart was so bad, they wanted to do a cardio surgery to strip off the pericardium just to assist the heart. He died on operation table at age 19. I had traveled. I met him, talked with him while he was on admission. I had traveled. Before I returned back, the surgery was done. He had died. I went on my knees. The only consolation I had was that I led him to Christ first. Before, how life just ended at the frequency of iniquity at a young age. That is, he spent his life in a hurry. That is, vision aborted, purpose for life aborted, destiny aborted. That will never be your portion. I have two counsels. Number one, endeavor to walk in the love of God. We started talking about love because love is foundational for character. Love for God, love for man,
and even love for yourself. Love for yourself. Love for yourself. I don't think that girl standing by the roadside with bag on the shoulder, waiting for who will pick her, loves her life. In this season of ritual killers. And where anybody at all.
No. Endeavor to walk in love. And that is love for God and love for God and love for man. Mark chapter 12 and in verse 39. Is it 29? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Just walk in love. Number two, endeavor to walk in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. With a conscience that is alive. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 17. Let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut short. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk in the consciousness of consequence, eternal consequence. Walk with the mind of giving pleasure to your maker. With the mind of, I must live to be sure he's happy with me. Once these two are in place, we'll endeavor to walk in character. And this walk of character will enhance our earthly life first, before we move to our eternal destiny. Stand up on your feet and lift your hands and appreciate him. I will never, never stop my journey halfway. Halfway until I reach my home. Until I reach my home. Until I reach my home. I will never stop my journey halfway. Halfway until I reach my home. Until I reach my home.
Until I reach my home. I reach my home. I will never, never stop my journey of it. Halfway until I reach my home.
Want Jesus to be Lord over your life? I'm sure that all our locations are connected. I'm only one, not seeing anyone at all. Everywhere you are, you pick your Bibles, you pick your Bibles. Just quickly come to the front here, to the altar. You go on your knees on the altar and just begin to pour your heart unto God. I will not stop my journey in life empty, halfway. Maybe you need the help to overcome a certain habit, a certain lifestyle, a certain way of behavior. You need God's help. You need prayer. You need mercy to overcome it. You quickly come forward as well and ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy. Come forward. Come to the altar. Quickly. Pick your Bible. Pick your Bible. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want mercy from God. You want forgiveness from for sin. You want addiction broken. Addiction to pornography, to tobacco, to alcoholism, to marijuana, to anything. Gambling, fraud, lying, cheating. I'll give you the count of 7, or rather 10. 1, until I reach my home. 2, carry your Bible from my basketball. 3, pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. Say it louder. I surrender my life to you. I receive forgiveness for my sins. The grace to live for you, I receive now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray for you all today. I declare that the hold of the enemy be broken. I decree grace to live for God be released upon you. Mercy from above be released upon you. In the name of Jesus, go forth and live for God. In Jesus' name.